Good morning. So not that I want to jump the gun, but today is Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
So that means next Sunday is
Easter.
There you go. All right. Okay. So hope that you have plans to be here to join us next week, but we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. If you are a guest with us, thank you for being here today. We're just so grateful that you chose to be here and to come and worship with us. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop the card in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table here at the end of the service, that would be such a big help to us. Hopefully you also received a bulletin, and so hopefully everybody else did too. So take it out. Let's take a look at what's going on after our morning service. This morning we have Sunday school. Yes, our Sunday school teacher made it back. And so we're grateful for that. And so at least the adult Sunday school teacher made it back. The children's Sunday school teacher's always been here. So he didn't go anywhere. But anyway, we're just so grateful that we can be able to gather together. And then Wednesday there's Joy Lunch at Goodwood Barbecue. This is the one over on Entertainment. And so if you have the time available to be able to come and join us for lunch, we want to invite you to be able to do that. Thursday night is Awana You Choose night, and this is our last regular night of Awana because next Thursday is our Awana Awards night, and we'll talk more about that next Sunday morning because there'll be some details in the bulletin about that. And so because next week is Easter, we are going to have our annual Easter breakfast starting at 9 a.m., and the church is going to provide egg casseroles, but we need more stuff to be able to go with it because we just don't want to eat casseroles. We want to have more stuff to be able to choose from. And so there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. If you have not stopped to sign up, there are still some lines that need the name on them. So if you have not stopped by there to be able to sign up to bring some stuff, would you please do that today? That would be so helpful to us. Also, if you're interested in helping with the sound and projection ministry, see Jared or Jeremy. They would be more than happy to be able to sign you up to be able to do that. And then congratulations to Sarah and Noah Lockie for placing first and third, respectively, in the state history competition. I hope I have all this information correct. And both of them are going on to compete at nationals in June. Is that correct? Okay. Whew. Wow. All right. Yes, let's give them a hand. Big, big deal. All right. So you have a bulletin. There's more information in it. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
How many of you are glad you're here? Yeah, every hand should have been up. All right. Some of you can't get your hand up this morning. Okay, all right. I'm ready to worship.
Well,
are you?
There's something else in there that's important, too.
There is?
A certain birthday has occurred.
In here?
24 hours ago.
Oh.
Yeah. It's you.
Yeah, but it's already passed.
No. You're not getting off that easy. All right. We're going to sing happy birthday to Pastor Sam, our beloved pastor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sam. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the cards. Thank you for some of you that provided gifts to be able to help my birthday be really, really special. So I love every single one of you. Thank you again so much. All right. Now I'm ready to worship. Are you?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning? Praise is rising. Praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. For you, 'cause we when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna. God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Rich wounds yet visible above. that sight. But downward bends each burning eye at mysteries so bright. And crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet there flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, and be seated as we continue forward. God is good, so, so good. As we sang this morning about Jesus, we sang about him as the King. You'll remember that in the week before he went to the cross, he entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They laid down palm branches in front of him. They hailed him as King, King of the Jews. But then, that was not the fullness of the plan. He went to that cross for us, and we don't have a Good Friday service, but if we did, we would sing some songs like this. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your end. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, when death was arrested and my life began, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for giving us new life. Thank you, Lord, for opening a way for a future full of hope and eternal life in Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, as we look to you as our King, still yet to come, Lord, would you give us strength and hope to continue on, to continue to shine the light of Jesus in this world for your great name. We love you. Amen. As we sing this next song, we're going to take this morning's offering, and it's about the cross. This is one of Jeremy's favorite songs that he brought to us, and it's so poignant how we make it about other things all the time, and really at the end of the day, especially this time of year, it is all about the cross. We would be nowhere and nothing without that cross of Jesus. So as that plate passes in front of you, do not put money in it because you think the church needs it, but because you want to say thank you to your great and amazing King. It's not just about the manger, where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great. But it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. Yes, it's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Yep, we have a tendency to make it all about all kinds of other things when it's about the cross. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that it's not about anything but the cross. It's about what Jesus did for us. It's about the debt of sin that he paid on our behalf because we couldn't pay it ourselves. And Father, I pray that as we look into your word today and as we learn more and more about you, more and more about your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, Father, I pray that it will stir our hearts to be able to just want to learn more and more about you. So, Father, open our hearts, open our minds, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 12. So today we're going to focus on Palm Sunday. We're going to focus on that triumphal entry that Jesus made into Jerusalem. And then next week, spoiler alert, we'll focus on the tomb and how you can go to Jerusalem today and supposedly you can go to the tomb that he was placed in when he was taken off of the cross. But if you look inside that tomb, you're going to find what? Nothing. That's exactly right, because he's not there. He came out of that tomb 40 days later. He ascended into heaven and he's in heaven today interceding on the behalf of all of us who believe in him as Savior, and preparing a place for those of us who believe in him as Savior. And when that place is finished, he's going to come back. He's going to receive us to himself, that where he is, we will always be. And we have friends, we have loved ones who have gone to that place already because their place was ready. We're still here because we're still waiting. But you know what? When we get there, I can guarantee you it'll be worth the wait. Now, how do I know that? Because I've been there? Nope. I know that because Jesus promised it. And I know it'll be worth the wait. Well, I want to start by asking you a question this morning. Would you consider yourself to be fickle? Now, before you answer that question, let's talk about what it means to be fickle and what it looks like to be fickle. Now, fickle means you are likely to change your mind. You are not constant or loyal in your affections. And usually being fickle occurs with our sports teams. When they do well, yeah! When they don't do so well, I'm done with them, right? I'll go on to another team. It also occurs with our celebrities. When they're riding the high of popularity, we're right there with them. But when they start to get old and nobody listens to their songs or nobody watches their movies, we kind of what? We move on to other celebrities. Or even in our relationships with other people. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And fickle is an old English word that is from before 1000 AD. So this word fickle has been around a long time. And the original meaning of fickle means deceitful, deceptive, treachery. Whoa, Pastor, that's pretty harsh. That's harsher than our use of the word today. And another meaning that's probably a little bit tamer would be, instead of calling us fickle, to be calling us a fair weather fan or a fair weather person. That sounds a little bit better than being fickle, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been fickle with your favorite sports teams? Or worse yet, have you ever been fickle with your family or friends? Your friends didn't invite you to their party and you got mad at them. Someone didn't like a post on social media and you unfriended them. Your favorite restaurant didn't live up to your expectations once and you're never going back. A coworker who was a friend didn't agree with one of your ideas and now you go out of your way to avoid them. I can go on. But my point is how quickly we can turn on one another. We can be extremely fickle and fair, weathered fans towards one another. Now, on that first Palm Sunday, there didn't appear to be any fickle, fair-weathered fans of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. Hopefully by now you found John chapter 12 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read, starting in verse 12 down through verse 19. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet Jesus was so that they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Everything seemed so good. The crowds came out and they were treating Jesus like a king, even though he was riding a donkey. You know, back then, most kings came into town on white horses or riding in chariots pulled by white horses. Jesus came to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The people that were following Jesus were hoping and waiting. But 5 days later, Jesus would be dead. What happened? Why do people become fickle so quickly? You know, a similar thing happened to Woodrow Wilson. The 28th president of the United States was being celebrated as a world hero after helping the U.S. and our allies to be victorious in World War I. He was one of the most popular men in the whole world. On his first visit to Paris after the war, Wilson was greeted by cheering mobs. Wherever he went, there were thousands of people calling him a hero. The cheering lasted about a year. Then President Wilson ran into opposition in the United States Senate, and his League of Nations was not ratified. He suffered a stroke, and in the next election, his party was defeated. He went from hero to a distant memory when he died. You know, it happened that way to Jesus as well. He was a well-known sensation. Jesus would try to go off to be alone, and people would follow him. People lined the streets to see him, and wherever he was teaching, they were memorized by what it was that he was saying. He healed lots of people. And when he rode into Jerusalem that week, people were spreading and waving palm branches in front of him and shouting, "Hosanna." They were identifying him as a king. They were seeing Jesus save us now. There was a sense of expectation throughout all of Israel. There was hope that the Messiah, the mighty warrior and priestly king, had arrived. But just as quickly as it started, it came to an end. In that last week, Jesus' teaching was more difficult to understand. He was speaking of death rather than victory. What leader speaks of defeat? It wasn't making any sense. His critics were coming out in full force. Lies and rumors were being told. The situation was getting bad. The fickle nature of people, you know, those fair-weathered fans showed up, even though they didn't really know what was happening. It looked like Jesus really wasn't this mighty warrior king after all. And the thinking of the people was, if my team is going down, I'm getting off the bandwagon. Sound familiar? And so the opposition grew. The squeaky wheel was getting all the grease. The Pharisees and scribes were getting the attention of the Roman leaders. With Passover coming and thousands of people streaming into Jerusalem, the last thing these Roman leaders wanted on their watch was a revolt. So the Roman leaders wanted to appease the Jews, which, of course, was all about buying their loyalty. Before it was all over, a tidal wave swelled up that brought Jesus low under the weight of a cross. Why did the people turn against him? How did the shouts of Hosanna on Sunday transform into the shouts of crucify him at the end of the week? What was the deep root causes? The underlying issues? Why did the cheering stop? And when we try to understand this, does it affect us? Because are we people who cheer for Jesus one day and murmur against him days later? Just like the people in Jerusalem? Are we fair-weathered fans as well towards Jesus? When all is going well, we're all in for Jesus. He's the best. He's my best friend and guide. But when unpleasant circumstances or obstacles or the challenges of life come our way, what do? We start the blame game. And we begin to question his purposes and plans, which then leads us to what? Get angry with God. Now, I don't know where you are this morning in your relationship with Jesus. But I think that no matter where we are, we all need to look at some Palm Sunday encouragement. That's my goal this morning. So here's the first way for us to find that encouragement on Palm Sunday. Jesus was about commitment. Jesus was about commitment. Now I know people become extremely uncomfortable when they hear the word commitment. They'd rather talk about a whole lot of other things than that. It's easier to go through life as a fair-weathered, fickle fan than to completely follow Jesus, because that way you don't get hurt. But the flip side of that is you never experience the hope of an abundant life while living on this side of heaven. And that's a pretty poor trade. Jesus was teaching people to live differently. You needed to love your neighbor. You needed to help someone in need, even if it was inconvenient. This is why the parable of the Good Samaritan is so powerful. Jesus taught that people were supposed to love God. Love your family and love God. Be committed to Jesus. But that was a foreign concept for the religious leaders of Israel to grab a hold of. Here's a second encouragement this morning. Jesus was about love. Now for us, being about love is not necessarily easy. I want to love people I want to love. I don't want to be told to love people who aren't like me. I wish everybody was like me, but that's not the way that it is. Jesus taught that we are to love God with every fiber of our being and to love others. This means that the Pharisees and the scribes were to love the outcast. They were to love the person who was not like them. That was not part of who these religious leaders of Israel were, because they believed that they were better than others. They were not like sinners. They had this arrogant view of themselves. Yet Jesus' example and his instructions was to love. Love the leper. Love the sick. Love the blind. Love the tax collector. Love the difficult family member. Love the sinner. Love your enemies. Love the lazy person. Love the person in trouble with the law. Love the people with no common sense. Love, love, love. And if we're to be honest, this isn't an easy assignment. This isn't an easy instruction for us to follow. It wasn't back then, and it still is not today. But this is the instruction that still needs to be what we are all about, because that's what Jesus was all about. And his love took him where? To a cross. That brings us to the third encouragement this morning. Jesus was about victory. Jesus spoke about his death and the victory that his death on the cross would bring, and the disciples didn't get it. They couldn't understand that Jesus was going to die. And even more complicated were his words about coming out of the tomb after 3 days. This made very little sense to them. The religious leaders of Israel, they didn't get it either. They wanted a warrior to destroy the Romans. The Romans were the enemy. The Romans were the oppressors. That wasn't going to change. But Jesus didn't come to offer victory over Rome. He came to offer us life, eternal life, and abundant life. And it's living the abundant life today and experiencing it in greater ways when someday we are in the very presence of Jesus. This is the gift that Jesus gives to all who believe in him as Savior. And there's no strings attached. It's simply because of his grace alone, through faith alone, that we have this spiritual victory. We have victory from the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." How do we get to be in Christ Jesus? Believe in him as Savior. We have victory from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we don't have to have sin have dominion over us. We don't have to give in to sin. We don't have to let sin control us. How do we have that? Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And someday, we're going to have victory from the very presence of sin. Because in heaven, there's no sin. There's no evil. There's no unrighteousness. There's no temptation. Aren't you glad for that? I'm looking forward to that. So we have victory from the penalty of sin. We have victory from the power of sin. And someday, victory from the very presence of sin. Jesus' victory on the cross went exactly according to God's plan of redemption. God's word was totally fulfilled. It went the way God had planned it out. Jesus satisfying the payment for the debt of your sin, my sin, and the sin of the entire world. What a great gift. What a great victory. Now, as we get ready to close this message, we're going to go in a little different focus. Jesus came into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday riding a what? A donkey. A donkey never ridden. A donkey fit for a servant, not a king. And the Pharisees complained that the entire world had turned to Jesus. Now, this was a bit of an exaggeration because we know that 5 days later, they what? They turned on Jesus. But that was how it felt for these religious leaders of Israel. There was a crowd who turned out for the parade, and it was a great victory celebration. But Jesus came riding in that parade on a what? On a donkey. Why? Well, we don't really know, but he does. And the donkey was given to Jesus to ride because, why? He had need of it. He told the disciples, "Go and you're going to go to a particular house and you're going to find a donkey tied outside next to its mother. Take the colt. And if somebody comes out and says to you, 'Why are you taking the colt?' you just say, 'The master has need of it.'" And they did exactly as Jesus said. They went to this house. They saw the donkey. They saw the colt. They untied the colt. They started to take it to where Jesus was. Somebody came out and said, "Why are you taking this colt?" And they said, "The master has need of it." And the people went, "Okay. Okay." Amazing, right? Only God can do that. But the donkey was given to Jesus to ride because Jesus had need of that. Hold on to that thought. Because we all have something in common with the donkey. We all have something in common with the donkey. Whoa, Pastor, I didn't come here on Palm Sunday to tell me that I have something in common with a donkey. Sorry. But we all do. Because Jesus has a need for us to fulfill. Now catch this. He needs us to serve him. He has gifted us for service for him. He has given us time, talents, and treasures to what? Serve him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Now this verse, verse 10, is given to those who already believe in Jesus as Savior. Because remember what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, the verses right before this one? It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You know, there are a lot of people who don't understand that. There are a lot of people who think that our salvation comes because of our works. The Bible never teaches that. We work because of what Jesus already did for us, and we believe in him as Savior. Then the works that he's prepared for us, the works that he needs for us to fulfill for him, the service that he needs for us to fulfill for him, that is what every single one of us as believers need to be doing. It's interesting that this was a donkey that had never been ridden. And an unbroken donkey can be stubborn, can be unruly, can be skittish. But do you know something else? As it becomes more comfortable with the master, it begins to enjoy the ride. Be listening, as the Holy Spirit may be prompting you to serve God in some way. Then serve. Because to be needed, desired, wanted, and used by the master is an amazing privilege. And let me just remind you that here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we have places for you to be able to serve if you're willing. If you're willing to serve the master. We already talked about one of those this morning during the announcement time. We could use some more people to be able to help us in the sound booth with our sound and projection ministry. There's other places that we can use people to be able to serve. He's gifted us for service for him. He's given us time, talent, and treasure to serve him. He has prepared works for us to be able to do for him beforehand. Are you willing to be like the donkey? Are you willing to serve? Don't be stubborn, selfish, and fearful so that you refuse to serve God. It's easy to be fickle towards Jesus. It's easy to be a fair-weather believer. We need to be a people who are Palm Sunday people. People who worship and praise and live for Jesus on the good days and the bad days. People who are willing to serve him. In all that we do, we honor and glorify him. We should be about commitment because Jesus was about commitment. We should be about love because Jesus was about love. We should be about living in victory because it's by what Jesus did on the cross for us that we have that victory. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of where we came from. It's not because of what we've achieved in our life. It's not because of the possessions that we're able to have. It's not about the influence that we have over certain other people. It's about what Jesus did for us. He won that victory for us. And all he asks in return is that we just serve him. Let's pray. Father, help our lives as believers to be about what you're about. You were about commitment. Father, help us to be about commitment. Father, you have a need for us to be able to serve you, especially here in the church. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to be able to continue to listen to the prompting of your Holy Spirit, to direct us to those places of service you want us to be able to serve in, those places of service that you've already gifted us with time and talent and treasure to be able to serve you with. Father, help us to be a people who are about love like you are. And Father, help us to be about a people who live in victory, not because we've achieved the victory, because the victory was achieved for us by you on the cross. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for our final song?
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Oh, 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 oh. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Oh, 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 oh.
Who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Oh, 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 oh. And every knee will bow before him. Before the Lion and the Lamb.